And welcome to another episode of 2 Minutes, Dos Minutos, Season 3, Episode 2. We're back again. Guys, nice to be back, and we are rolling. I'm going to say, even though it's not really post-pandemic, I'm going to say now we're getting closer to post-pandemic. Our second episode of the season, and just as thrilled to be with you and have our listeners back for this episode.
Yeah, we're super excited, Mike. As a matter of fact, this is indeed the second episode of 2021, our season 3. And we have to continue now to catch up all our listeners to what's going on today, a year after the pandemic. And one thing that happened, we know that our beloved Miami Heat went to the NBA Finals, and then now they started the 2021 season. Mike, you got to talk about this because it's a little interesting what happened after the NBA Finals, what happened afterwards. You got to let our listeners know about that.
Well, so the Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers play in the NBA Finals, and our team just came up a little bit short and lost in the finals. And the last game that the Heat played in the bubble in the finals was probably the third week of October. And so the season ended, the bubble ended. The Heat came back to Miami. The staff all went back to their homes. And so then the off season began. And there was a lot of discussion in the NBA and the Players Association about how long that off season would be. And it's very interesting because, you know, some teams, guys, didn't even go to the bubble. The teams that had no shot at the playoffs did not even go to the bubble. So the last games they played were back in March. Then you had some teams that went to the bubble, but they didn't make the playoffs. So they went home in September. Then you had teams that got eliminated as the playoffs were going on, and they left at different times in September and October as well. So here you have teams broken down into haven't played in 7 months or 8 months, haven't played in 3 months or 4 months, and then you've got the Heat and the Lakers who just finished playing. And so the Players Association was trying to figure out when would be a good time to start this season. And there was a lot of discussion that it would be in January. A lot of people were pointing to January. And then the league sat down and they talked about it. And with the television contracts really starting in December, financially would be much more healthy for the league than just delaying it by a month. That 1 month was going to make a huge difference. And so everyone agreed for the health of the league, we would start. And it's funny the way I said the health of the league, we would start in December. And the Miami Heat started on Christmas Day. And so, Alf, to give you an idea, I believe the Miami Heat offseason was 72 days.
Oh, my goodness.
When in a normal NBA season, the league ends in June and starts in October. So you're talking about for the champion and for the runner-up, 4 months. Here you're talking about compressing that down into 70 to 72 days. And so it was a incredibly fast turnaround. And I think, you know, I think NBA fans that pay attention probably noticed that a little bit, because you've got teams that played all the way through and then they had 70 days. And, you know, I know a lot of people would say, and I would be partial to that thought, well, these guys are in the best shape of anybody on the planet. They're professional athletes. Yes, that is true. But this really goes to show you, even those guys in great shape really need time for not only their bodies, but their minds to kind of decompress and then get ready again, because we had no training camp. our get ready again for this season was one or two or three preseason games, and you hit the ground running. So it has been a whirlwind. And then the schedule itself has really been a challenge because they reduced the number of games in the regular season by 10. Instead of 82, we're playing 72. But the league also is very mindful of when it has to end because it does not want to step on any NBA players that may have qualified and want to participate in the upcoming Olympics were postponed for a year. So there, you know, all of these moving parts put in there, Alf, and it's a long answer to a simple question of yours, but just 70 days or so off for the Miami Heat until we started this experience, which has been, other than the bubble experience, unlike anything else.
Right. So I would imagine some teams, like you said, had a longer layoff, but those that were not invited to the NBA bubble. And then you have those teams like the Los Angeles Lakers, the Miami Heat, that didn't have enough time to recuperate. I imagine there's an effect to that. You know, what kind of effect do you think that's had on the players?
Sure. I would think there is. I mean, if you've got a player who hasn't played since last March, they're probably clamoring to say, yeah, look, I'm ready to get back and play. You've got a team that just finished playing the third week of October. They're probably saying, can we push this off as far as possible? You know, so you've got two different things happening there. I will say this, though, Alf. Think about the impact of the pandemic on our movements and what we were allowed and not allowed to do. So even for a player who maybe played his last game in March, I really don't know what those players had access to. Could they go to gyms and continue to play and continue to sharpen their skills and continue to get their bodies right? Or were they unable to work out? I can tell you they were not able to go to their team facilities. That was forbidden. So how much could these players stay in tip-top shape? I think all around it was a negative effect on everyone. From a lot of different perspectives, because these superior athletes just could not keep themselves, their bodies tuned and in shape like they would have under the guidance of their own franchises and their trainers.
Got it. Yes. And Mike, what do you think is difference between the bubble 2020 and NBA in 2021? So tell us your routine now versus what it was before.
Okay, so now that we're playing, there is no bubble. So teams are traveling from city to city. They're playing in each other's arenas. And so I have been, as I explained in our previous episode, you know, we had PA announcers there. The public address announcer is an essential member of game night. So what I do is required by the NBA. I have to be at those games. The only reason I say that is because not everyone is an essential game night employee. So what the league made sure to do was to find the minimum number of people that are required to work the game. And they have designated different levels within the arena itself. And this is for every arena in the NBA. There is a red level, there's a yellow level, and there's a green level. And depending on what level you are a part of, determines what protocols you go through and where you can move about within each arena. So the red level staff are the ones that are on the floor. They're the ones in closest contact players and coaches and referees. I am a red level employee. The yellow level are those that are located probably, I would say, at the top of the 100 level section. They're right where the 100 level section ends up at the top by the concourse level. In that yellow level, you'll find the television broadcasters, the radio broadcasters. They are all in the yellow level. Excuse me. And then in the green level, that would be where the press would be found in many cases. That's at the very, very nosebleed top of each arena.
I know where that is.
You recognize that, right, Brian? Yeah.
Brian knows that seat very well. So the reason I explain that as specifically as I do is because the levels cannot mix with one another. If you are in red, you cannot mix with yellow or green, and vice versa. So that means the red entrance has its own special entrance only for red staff. Yellow and green, the same. And with that comes different testing protocols. And so other than players and coaches and team staff members, red level staff has the second most arduous NBA testing protocols of anyone else in the building.
I see. And Mike, one thing, do you still have to wear mask and practice social distancing?
So in addition to regular testing, and the testing protocol is for every home game, you must produce, any red level staff must produce two negative tests in a period of 3 days prior to that game. The second test must be the day before the game. So I need to produce two negative tests prior to every home game in order to be cleared to work. In addition to that, masks are required. And so I am announcing Heat games right now while wearing a mask.
That's crazy.
Just like
wow.
Homes. The social distancing, as I said, we're down to kind of a skeleton crew. And so everyone is seated at 6 feet apart from one another. So yes, we are physical, socially distanced. We are wearing masks. And we do have this very, very arduous testing schedule that we need to go through.
And where do you have to go to do your COVID testing every time you do a test?
Every test is done at the American Airlines Arena. Since the team is responsible for our testing, it's done on site there at the arena. So I get a chance to make that drive to the American Airlines Arena about 3 or 4 times more often than I would in any regular season. But we're certainly happy to be able to work.
You're like a professional COVID tester as well. So,
you know, at the end of the last episode, the last podcast, we teased it a little bit. You know, my testing protocol, and I'm sure many of our listeners and viewers are probably saying, oh, my gosh, you've got to be kidding. The good news is the testing has changed a lot in the last year. Many of you probably remember in the early days of testing, the Q-tip goes up your nose and turns left at your eye and then gets to your brain. Thankfully, the testing that we're using now is much more sensitive, I guess. And so it's a throat swab, and then it is a nasal swab in each nostril, but it's not very invasive, I'm happy to say.
I'm guessing that when you talk about the effectiveness, it's just as effective, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Because as you know, if you follow the NBA, everyone is using the same testing, the same PCR testing that that every other team is. And there have been positives. So, you know, we have had some players, coaches, staff test positive. So we know the test is reliable, even though it's not as invasive. So I think it's the best of both worlds.
So Mike, so you do your announcements with the mask. Can you do me, this is a very impromptu. Is it possible for you to put the mask on and see if you sound the same? I know maybe you say yes, but I just want to make sure that during...
I would hope I sound the same. Here, this is just a standard cloth mask. It's from our friends at Palmer Trinity School. So we want to say hello to our friends at Palmer Trinity School.
Right.
So I'm going to put this cloth mask on.
So, Mike.
And, yeah.
Just so you know, if you sound better, we're going to have you wear the mask from now on.
All right. I'm going to do this. Let's do a test. I'm going to do a 2 minutes dos minutos announcement without the mask on. And then I'm going to do it with the mask on. All right. So let's see what you guys think. 2 minutes dos minutos. And for those of you that are not watching and just listening, that was maskless. Now, here we go. With the same call, now wearing a cloth mask. 2 minutes, dos minutos.
Yeah, definitely muffled. A little bit muffled, right?
No, much better. Keep it on, man.
Get out of here. So
let me ask you a question. Do you use, like, the Miami Heat mask? Or is
we can wear... We need to wear some type of mask. Now, it can be the, we've all heard of the N95 mask. It can certainly be that. It could be kind of like what you see, the doctor's masks, the blue doctor's masks. The only, if we wear a cloth mask, it either has to be plain or it can only be identified with Miami Heat or the Heat logo. So to answer your question, yes, but we can't, you know, unfortunately, I couldn't announce a game wearing a 2 minutes dos minutos podcast mask.
You which, know where I was going with that.
If I could, I definitely would. Now here's the other thing I think, which is probably going to lead into your next question. I don't think a whole lot of people would see it in the arena right now, but we can talk about that too.
But they saw it here if you actually can view our show, so they can see exactly what goes on. So that's exactly the point. But by the way, Mike, your job has returned basically the same way for 2021, right? You're making all the announcements the same way. What is different, though? What is different from the regular season or the regular way? Is it no fans in there? Is it limited seating? Or what's going on over there?
Okay, so a lot has changed just since the season started for us on Christmas Day. So it's been going on now almost about 4 months, I guess. And so... when we started, there were no fans, no one in the building. It was the teams, the officials, us, and that was the end of it.
I got a question. When there was no fans, how do you does somebody in the arena make noise, like if it's crowd noise? Is that what happened?
Correct. So we chose to use recorded crowd noise, and it was actually recorded crowd noise that we had done of our fans during regular season games.
I love that. That's great.
And so we had recorded from like live feeds and wild feeds, our fans cheering, our fans booing, our fans saying, "Let's go Heat," our fans chanting defense. And so our guys were able to track all of that stuff separately. So we were able to pipe that in.
Right. Is that one of your people that's sitting next to you at the red level?
So actually, the person pressing those buttons is up in the press box in what is the green level. Right. And he's sitting at a giant board and a computer and all of these, you know, touch screen. Cheer, boo, let's go Heat, defense, stomp and clap, whatever it might be. And so they are pressing the proper button at the proper time of the game. Because the last thing you want is for our guys to score a basket and the fans boo, right? You certainly don't want that. So so they're pressing the right buttons at the right time. There's two things that I really noticed about announcing in the American Airlines Arena with no fans. Number one, just how cavernous that building is when it's totally empty I've been in it when it's totally empty, but I had never been in it while a game was being played while it was totally empty. It is just incredible. The second thing is how quiet it is. You can hear every single thing that every one of our coaches is saying on the bench. You can hear all of the things that the players that are on the bench are yelling in support of the players that are on the court. Just the amount of what you can hear that you normally can't when you've got 20,000 people in there making noise and we're playing sound effects and there's a lot happening. It's just incredible that without that din, that constant din of the fans, how much you can hear the coaches explaining and directing and their teammates cheering them on and supporting them. That to me was the biggest difference. So we started with nobody. There was nobody in the building at all.
And now what has it progressed to? Is there a limited seating? How's that going now?
So we went from zero to friends and family of players and coaches. And that was a maximum of 200 people. And then we let that go for a while. And then we doubled that to 400. We started to, you know, and every time you add more people, the arena's learning how to deal with more people. You know, how do you get these people in the building? How do you get them out of the building? What are the rules that we should have for them when they are in the building? And so once the arena got more comfortable with that, they then expanded it and went to 1,500 people, which included season ticket holders and also average fans that don't have season tickets that just wanted to buy a game night ticket as long as we had capacity below 1,500. That was when we introduced, and you may have heard about this, the COVID sniffing dogs.
Oh,
so the American Airlines Arena now has COVID sniffing dogs that sniff each one of our Heat fans before they come in the building to make sure that they don't have the COVID virus.
Did you ever think it would come to that, to have a dog sniff you before going into a basketball game?
Not for the coronavirus, that's for sure.
Exactly. That's crazy. Hey, Brian, you need to train your dog to sniff COVID people.
Well, they can sniff, but yeah, the COVID part's going to be difficult since none of us really have it. So I'm not sure how we would go about doing that, but it's definitely next on our list to train them.
Mike, so we have now progressed up, Alf, to where we are as of recording this podcast to 3,000 fans a night is the maximum that we have. Now, there's very stringent rules. You must wear a mask at all times. You cannot take it off for any reason. You must stay in your seat. You can't move around in seats. Obviously, they're doing the social distancing thing. So you've got rows and numbers of seats between where guests are sitting. And so you can't just move around because we have you sitting where you are for a reason to keep you safe and socially distanced. We do have limited food and beverage available. But if you buy food and beverage, you must consume it on one of our outdoor plazas outside of the American Airlines Arena. Still part of the arena, but what we call the East Plaza and also a South Plaza. No eating or drinking is permitted at all inside the American Airlines Arena.
Mike, one last thing. When you think of COVID, I know that this is not the NBA in a bubble. So it's kind of joined the other major sports where they didn't have the luxury of going in a bubble. I assume there's been COVID cases that affect the teams, right? Has that been the case?
There absolutely has. The Miami Heat was hit with COVID very, very hard in the first half of the season. And I say that because the league had the wherewithal to divide the season into halves, first half and second half. And they only scheduled the first half games. And the reason they did that was they had no idea what was going to happen. Would games be canceled? Would they have to be moved around? And so we're now in the second half of the season, but a lot of teams did have games postponed and will be rescheduled. So to answer your question, yes, there have been positive tests throughout the NBA. I'm sure it's happened everywhere, that there has been teams that have come into town unknowingly. Someone after they left tested positive, which means they had COVID the night they played. And that's happened in every arena. And so we're very mindful of that. So that's why we need to take the precautions that we do, that we wear the mask, that we stay socially distanced, and that we keep our, you know, hands washed, obviously. The interaction that I would have with a player would never be long enough or close enough to be classified by the CDC as a close contact. So, for example, a player just coming and checking in the game, that means they're in front of me at the scorer's table. I'm wearing a mask. He's only there for a few seconds before he checks in the game. The CDC has said that's not long enough and it's not close enough to potentially infect me. On top of that, I've got the protocol of the testing, which is always the check and balance of what's happening here. And so, yes, players have tested positive. We continue to see positives. And the players have had to be subject to some very, very, very strict rules, guys. For example, when they're on the road, they have to stay in their hotel rooms. There's no going anywhere. And when they're home, they're asked to stay in their homes and only go from home to the team facility and back, just to limit potential exposures. So that's a huge requirement, but it certainly has helped. It seems like the number of cases has started to reduce. And then I think as we move forward with now the inclusion of vaccines, you will see some things change. The testing protocol for us will change once we are fully vaccinated. They will cut our testing requirements in half. We will go from 2 negatives in 3 days to 1 negative in 2 days. So that's once you're fully vaccinated. So, once vaccines become readily available, because certainly we're not giving priority to NBA players because they're NBA players. But once it becomes more readily available and more people start to get the vaccine, I think you'll see more and more return to normalcy. And maybe that means more fans. As I said, Miami's got 3,000 fans in the building. There are still some teams that have zero fans in their building. And so it runs anywhere from zero to thousands. I think there are more than 3,000 in some cities. So every city's different, just like it is different for COVID. So I do think we're going to get we'll return more to normal as we move forward, but we're still being extremely safe, especially as you get closer to the playoffs. To me, that'll be really, you know, you get into playoffs, the last thing you want is a major outbreak. So.
Right. It's you know, Brian, I think what's fascinating about this episode, the Michael B. experience, you know, life in the NBA 2021 is super exciting, you know, to myself. I know for you as well, but for our fans, it's going to be fantastic, you know?
Yeah, it's always great to hear, you know, especially, you know, Mike going through it, you know, his daily routine or weekly routine of the testing and everything that kind of has to happen, and even what the players have to go through. And, you know, like he kind of showed us before, you know, he's got to have that mask on constantly. You know, he's announcing he's got the mask on. It's a constant. You know, they're always protected. Everybody's there and they're taking precautions, and it's for the health and safety of everybody, not just an individual, but everybody there, the fans, everybody who's coming in. You know, they want to get things back to that normalcy. You know, everything, they want it back. They want people to come in. They want to have all those fans versus, you know, 3,000 versus the, you know, 50,000 or however many.
Right.
Whatever the stadium can hold.
I'd love to have a full arena because, yeah, you know, right now it's great to have 3,000 people there. And, you know, I get them to stand up and make some noise, and 3,000 people making noise is awesome. But 20,000 people making noise is awesomer.
You know, and I can't imagine what the players go through with regards to, you know, when you have, you know, you're playing home games and you have your fans stomping and getting up and making that noise, whereas now, you know, they're playing for a limited amount of people. I wonder how that affects them mentally. You know, if it's a more of an effect when you have more fans or less fans. I know each of them are kind of, you know, helping each other. You know, they're telling each one of them, you know, getting, you know, hey, you can do this, you can do this. But hearing those fans and getting that feeling that you get, that vibe that you get with all the fans there and the players, I mean, you just mentally, for me, it would help me so much more, you know.
I think it's a great point, Producer Brian, and somebody's going to do a study on this down the road, I think, because people have already said, well, this season is turned upside down. How can a team with such a terrible record go on the road and play a team with a really good record and then beat them? And sometimes the answer is it's a lot different going into to play a team that's got notoriously loud fans and they're not there anymore. And it's one thing to pump in pre-recorded audio, but it's a whole nother thing when you've got rabid fans, human beings there, yelling and screaming and pointing at people and, you know, in their face and cheering. When that's not there, that's having make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Mike, for making a difference. You know, that's a great experience. I know our loyal listeners will be cheering and pulling for us and just making great remarks about this particular episode. So, as a matter of fact, this is the next episode, if you will be about the NFL draft, our next two episodes, actually. One will be a pre-draft show, and the next one will be actual first-round NFL draft show. So, looking forward to that. So, Mike, thank you very much for sharing. I love it. I'm sure our listeners will love it. Thank you, Producer Brian. There you go. Mike, go ahead and close it up.
All right. So, from this virtual set up the virtual Zeus Tech Studios, because the Zeus Tech Studios are part of this. Let me say thank you once again. Thanks for coming back and listening to 2 Minutes Dos Minutos podcast. Thanks for being a loyal listener, and we appreciate you following us and sending us all your comments, and know that we're reading everything, and we appreciate going back and forth with you, and we're glad to be able to bring a little bit of fun back to us. And we've got a lot more in store when it comes to 2 Minutes Dos Minutos and the podcast and other ideas coming up. It's going to be great. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again real soon.